Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things.
Amen.
In our lesson for this morning, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Those words we know, because we know the end of the story, that the words that they cannot bear that Jesus will bring are that he will be arrested and tried and tortured and killed. Those are the words that they cannot bear. And so Jesus points them to the Holy Spirit. He says to the disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, you will be guided into all truth. You will understand. You will understand. The Spirit will glorify me, taking what is mine and declaring it to you. But for now, there are words that you cannot yet bear. One of the things that I used to love about my father-in-law was that we argued all the time about really, really important things. Like, is God done speaking and the Bible is finished? Or is God still speaking today? He erred on the side of saying that God had been done speaking and everything was in Scripture. Again, I say he erred on that side. I, on the other hand, was convinced that God still had something to say. And that God continues to speak to us even to this day. In the end, I actually believe that Jeannie's dad thought so too. But why waste a good argument? So there Jesus is, ready to go at the end of the Gospel of John to the cross. We find out later about that. But I got to thinking, it turns out that even as Jesus meets with the disciple on this night, he has already said plenty that they cannot bear. They just haven't noticed. In the 15th chapter of John, in the 32nd verse, he says, this is my commandment. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. In the 26th verse, he says, when the advocate comes, she will testify on my behalf, and you also are to testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Early in Christianity, it was perceived that outsiders, including Samaritans and Cretans and all of those people that didn't look and live and talk and speak our language, were not really thought of as being part of the Christian body of Christ, the people. So even before there were Christians, as Jesus was gathering his disciples around him, even Jesus early on was pretty sure that he was sent only to his own people. And then a woman shows up from outside, and healing happens. A Gentile, a blind man, all kinds of people suddenly begin to be included in what was thought of as a very narrow group. And at the beginning, and particularly early in Christianity, the great argument was, should we let those people in? And I picture in my mind Jesus saying, I have a word for you that's going to be a little hard for you to bear. you will not keep them out. They are already mine. There were early in Christianity's life that people had a really difficult time and were challenged to see God in flesh in a child of all things. Much less in flesh at all. Human. It was a hard word for people to hear. And then Jesus, as he got older, if you remember early in his ministry, he came up against religious authority. He challenged the notion that religious principle and doctrine superseded human suffering. The rules were not as important as people. As Jesus heals a man, the religious authorities ask, "Why do you heal on the Sabbath?" And I ask again, I think in my head, Jesus saying, "Well, why don't you?" It was a word so hard to hear from Jesus that they finally threatened to kill him, to hunt him down. Jesus included among his disciples women leaders, not as an exception, but as part of the beloved community at a time when women were seen largely in some parts of society as chattel to be owned, a liability. It is hard to imagine that that was a word that people clung to very quickly and accepted right away. For goodness sake, we've only been ordaining women in our church for 50 some odd years. And throughout much of Christianity, this is still not possible. Later, the religious community would challenge the notion that God alone brings salvation, and that it was available even to those that we would deem unworthy. Well, you know how that goes, right? It's part of our piety even today. For as many times as Pastor Bree and I might stand up here and tell you that God loves you just for who you are and where you are and how you are in this very moment and into the future, in the back of your mind you're saying, "But I think I better do something good later today, just in case." There's nothing like hedging your bets against grace. And yet, in Paul's letter today, we hear he will write that we are justified. We are justified by God in faith. Martin Luther found that a really hard word to hear from God, and it's from Paul, that somehow he himself was worthy of God's love. And he fought against it with the very fiber of his being. And he will write, "I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." I know you've all memorized this. "But instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with God's gifts, and kept me in the one true faith." It's from the small catechism at the back of your red hymnal. Feel free to peruse it for the rest of the sermon. All of that to say that even though that day as Jesus sat with his disciples saying, look, I have words to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You are not ready. Jesus had already turned the world upside down with hard words. Hard commands. Love one another. Heal even on the Sabbath. Abandon your piety, or at least try to understand it in a way that is shaped and through the lens of grace. Come and eat at table with sinners and prostitutes and people who are different from you. Sometimes we forget all that Jesus has said. All the hard things that are really at the core of who we are and who we will be as the people of Christ. But certainly one of the hardest things that Jesus said during his life, I think, is from John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Maybe that's the hardest of all. It's hard because it encompasses not only our own self, but also the self of our neighbor. It means, as several conversations I've had this week have sort of swirled around the idea of allowing yourself to become outside the center, that someone else can be in the center. To let yourself go so that another might be fully themselves. With all that is happening in the world, I am absolutely convinced of the error of my father-in-law's ways. God bless him. May he rest in peace. I think God still is talking to you and to me and the whole world. But I wonder, what is the hard thing that God is saying to us today that we cannot hear? What hard thing is God saying to us today that we cannot hear? We may be deaf at times. We may not want to hear those hard words. But in the midst of that, remember this. That for all of our hardness of heart and the hardness of the world and the ways in which we fold in on ourselves, God is unfolding us even now. Remember what Jesus said, the second half. This is my commandment, that you should love one another. And what's the second half? Oh, you're so Lutheran. It's okay. You tell me you know this. Everyone will need to come to catechism next week. As I have loved you. We will have catechism immediately following church. And it will be a hard word. No, just kidding. No, that's the thing. What hard word do we need to hear? That we should love one another as I have loved you. And God is unfolding all of that around us as well. May God bless and keep you in these days to come, as we hear again and again the living voice of God in our lives. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, number 412 in the ELW.